Joining us now from ESPN.com, Jamison Hensley. J-Mo, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. And right now, when you look at the standings in the AFC North, the Ravens, of course, at the quarter pole, 3-1, tied with the Bengals atop the division. Pittsburgh right now, they're going to get healthy and well this week, but they're 1-2. And the Ravens have an interesting matchup against a 1-3 Kansas City team, but it's on the road, Jamison.
Yeah, and see, that's kind of the scary part, because if you remember last year, whenever they kind of you thought they were going to dominate a team on the road, with Seattle, going to Seattle, going to Jacksonville, they kind of surprised you a few times. I think they did very well even in a loss to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I think, has shown this year that they're a quality team, and they're probably a team headed to the playoffs. So losing by 1 point at Philadelphia, no one should be ashamed of that. But still, I think this is going to be a test as far as them mentally, because they've had time playing last Thursday. So they're rested. Over that time, people have started patting them on the back a lot. You hear a lot of good media accolades. Joe Flacco is getting some MVP buzz already. And that's why going against an inferior Kansas City team right now, them getting a win, I think would – a lot of people would expect it, but I think it would show how much different this team is this year compared to last year.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, you know that the Baltimore Ravens offense has been very strong, and you say the MVP buzz, well, certainly he's putting up some strong numbers. But the defense, I think, as far as the defense being tested on the road, give us your thoughts on some explosive players for that Kansas City offense and how it would look against this Ravens defense.
Yeah, and I mean, if you remember, playoff game a couple years ago, Jamaal Charles was gaining a lot of yards.
Yes, he was.
Until Terrence Cody just, flopped down on him, kind of basically just body slammed him and took him out of the game. It was kind of like a Siragusa-esque move there. Before that, he was getting a lot of yards against them. And Dwayne Bowe, he's a guy that missed a lot of camp time because he wanted a new contract and got the franchise tag. But Dwayne Bowe is a very, very good receiver in this league. And I think when you look at the Ravens' defense, the thing that jumps out at you is that the past 3 weeks, the past three games, they've allowed a quarterback to throw over 300 yards. That kind of was a little surprising last week because it was a rookie, Brandon Whedon, who was throwing over 300 yards. If they allow Matt Cassel, who is pretty much fighting for his job, a guy that and a lot of people expect that if he struggles early, could be removed from the game. If he has success early against the Ravens, I think that you might want to be alarmed about the Ravens' pass defense.
Yeah, and especially when you combine the fact the run defense for the Ravens this year hasn't been great. And Charles, as you mentioned, Jamison, we're talking about a guy who's averaging close to 6 yards per carry. Just an equalizer, something I never thought I'd say this, but he could keep the Ravens' offense off the field.
When you look at those yards per carry, it's Ray Rice and Jamaal Charles. Those numbers really jump off at you. But you're right. Jamaal Charles could, if he has to keeps going and really takes away, kind of that time of possession, and if Kansas City can get an early lead, that just really works against the Ravens' advantage, because Arrowhead, the one time I went there for a playoff game, very, very loud, especially when the Chiefs are in the game. It's an older stadium, and it's an open-air stadium, but for some reason, the way that stadium's configured, it's just really noisy. And so I think that's the Ravens' mentality, is they got to go in there and get a lead, take control of that game, so they can kind of eliminate the crowd noise a little bit. And as we saw in Philadelphia, where it's a very loud place as well, the Ravens just totally abandoned the no huddle, and the offense was definitely – you could tell by watching that game, when they got out of the no huddle, it seemed like they just got out of rhythm, out of sync offensively. I'm very interested in seeing how long they can stick with the no huddle on Sunday.
Talking to Jamison Hensley, ESPN AFC North blogger. J-Mo, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm sitting back and I'm like, wow, did we catch them at the right time? Because – since playing against the Ravens, it seems as though A.J. Green has been this stud, AFC Offensive Player of the Month, And you're talking about a team that, that has just been going into people's places and playing extremely well.
Yeah, and I mean, they went down to Washington, won there. They went down to Jacksonville, and yeah, you can say a lot about what the teams and the caliber that they've played and who they've beaten. But still, they rebounded from. I thought it was an embarrassing loss on their end because at Baltimore, because that was a game they were trying to measure themselves against the defending division champions, and they came away and they saw that there was a lot of separation right there. But they came back and won three straight games. And like you said, A.J. Green really is carrying this offense. This is a guy that's easily the best receiver in the division, if not the NFL at this point. And he's kind of become that constant for an offense where, you know, Andy Dalton has played well. He's completing almost 70% of his passes. But this is a guy that you saw in the Baltimore game. He can make some mistakes. He's already had two interceptions returned for touchdowns this year. And Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, the guy that has never fumbled in his first 5 years in the league, has now fumbled three times in three games. So offense has been a little unreliable. The defense hasn't looked as good as last year. But the one thing you can't argue about is they're 3-1, and they're tied with the Ravens now atop the division.
Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com is with us here on WBAL. Jameson, for the Ravens to get out of that 18-day stretch, four games, what does it say about this team just to get through that period and now be 3-1 where the schedule, I know it's grueling and it will be grueling again, but there is almost a little bit of a letdown as far as the competition and the pace of the schedule.
Yeah, and really, if when I looked at the schedule, there were two kind of stretches that I thought they're going to be very challenging for the Ravens. And the one that really jumped out at you was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers twice in 3 weeks and having a cross-country trip to San Diego sandwiched in the middle. The other one was the beginning of the season. And because not only were you playing four games in such a small stretch, but you were playing the Bengals and Patriots, who went to the playoffs last year, an Eagles team that was very, very hot at the end of last season and is probably going to the playoffs this year, a Cleveland team that's rebuilding, but still you play three tough, tough teams. For them to come out 3-1, and not only physically, but mentally for them, because beginning of the season, right before the start, they had to deal with the loss of owner Art Modell. And then right before the game, when they went the third week of the season, Torrey Smith's younger brother passed away just hours, not days, but hours.
Yeah.
So when they played Cleveland Browns, that was the first home game they had where they didn't have a moment of silence for somebody. I mean, so they went through a lot emotionally, and for them to be 3-1, I think it didn't surprise me, but what it told me was that this is a very tough team, a team that I think because of the challenges they've had to go through, I think they're a much tighter team right now than when they started the season.
When we come back with Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com, we'll take a look at the AFC North more in depth. That's coming up next on WBAL.
Let's turn our attention to traffic and weather together on the fives. And, well, let's just say Tamara Nelson is doing an awesome job of fighting through whatever is ailing her in her throat. Tamara, take it away.
And I actually sound good tonight, Q. We're going to head to 95 southbound after Keith Avenue into the Fort McHenry Tunnel. Some road work. Two lanes are closed. Now, overnight, Bore number 1 will be closed all night long, so southbound traffic will have to move over to Bore number 2. Inner loop at Quarantine Road through the Curtis Creek Drawbridge, left lane's closed. It's road work, 95 southbound on the northeast side after 695 for road work in the right lane. And the BW Parkway northbound, some delays expected from 100 to 195. They've closed off the right lane. And again, yep, it's road work. The WBAL InstaWeather Plus forecast, clearing skies tonight. Slightly cooler this evening, maybe a little fog rolling in late tonight. 52 in the suburbs, 60 degrees downtown. Right now it is partly cloudy, 73 degrees. I'm Tamara Nelson on WBAL and WBAL.com.